Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior and the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are here today and to those who are joining us online as well. And we also want to recognize those mothers who are no longer with us as well. So come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise for our mothers. Not only our mothers, let's thank the Lord himself, though, because that's why we're here, right? Amen, amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our fifth grade and below. They can be dismissed to their designated learning areas. God bless you guys. Yes, today can be bittersweet, if you like me. So glad to see all of you who have decided to come out today. And again, we're grateful to God for all of those who are joining us via live social media. I'm going to go ahead and get to it since I think Elder Tucker was taking a shot at me earlier. Was that just me? Sounded like he was taking a shot at me, right? But last week we were encouraged through the Word of God to be ready to testify. And we were reminded that means we are to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us the reason for the hope that we have. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter was careful to tell us, in doing so, you got to do that with gentleness, right, and respect, knowing that many people in the world are going to think that we are crazy fanatics, right? He goes on to say they're going to even lie on you, even to the point that some will hate your Savior so much that they will threaten your life because of him. But Peter reminds us that we don't have to fear the world's intellect, nor do we have to fear the world's threats, even though that does not guarantee any of us that we won't have to suffer. But we saw last week, he says, but that it is better, if it's God's will, that we suffer for doing good rather than for doing evil. And so the week before that, 2 weeks ago, we were reminded of our motivations for how we live this life. We understand that as believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether those things are good or whether those things are bad. So that's why Peter can say it's better if it's God's will that you suffer for doing good rather than doing something bad, because everyone must answer to him. But we also saw that it is his love, it is Christ's love that compels us to do that, to live for him. Because we are convinced what? That he died for us. So in keeping in that vein, if you will, I've entitled today's message, Be Careful of How You Live. We've got to resist this teaching that the grace of God excuses a Christian's unholy living. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, describes that these certain individuals have come into the church and they teach a message. And he talks about these people. He says they are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our Lord. But we saw that as believers, we have to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We have to revere him in our hearts as sovereign, that he is in complete control. So as believers, we can't buy into this lie, if you will, believing, being deceived that it's okay to live as a believer on Friday and Saturday night as an unbeliever. And then on Sunday morning, we want to come in and be holy. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like the nice Mother's Day message. I hate to break it to you, but this is it. Because in 13 or 14 more hours, Mother's Day going to be over. And I'm trying to give you something that's going to last you for today and the days to come, the weeks to come, and the years to come if the Lord should tarry. I got to encourage you as a believer. You can't just be a Christian at church and then turn around at school and work be a pagan. You got to be careful how you live. I want you to join me in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to break right into the middle of that chapter at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 15. There should be a Bible beneath the seat directly in front of you if you don't have one. I'm going to ask that you'll grab that and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't own a Bible, please take it as a free gift, as our gift to you from Gateway. If you don't own a Bible, take it with you. Once you find your spot, I'm going to ask that you'll rest on your feet, Steve. I say rest on your feet, Steve, because we like the rest. So I'm just going to say, I take the excuse away. You still rest on your feet. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to look at verses 15 to 21. No promises, Steve, but I'll try to keep it short. The New International Version, in case mine reads a little bit different than yours, it reads this way. Be careful. Be very careful then how you live. See, we got our title from there. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, verse 21, I know some of you are like, wait, that looks like that go to another. Nope, I believe it's all go together. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for an opportunity for us to come together to lift up the name of Jesus, to worship you, God, for who you are. Thank you for all those who have come, God. Thank you for our mothers, God, both who are here and gone, God. We pray for this hour right now, God, that you would minister to our hearts on how you expect for us to live. So I pray, God, that there will be a strong movement of your Spirit to exhort and encourage and both and even warn the believer to be careful how they live. Move like only you can, God, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Be careful how you live. Even though this, it's one letter, it's one whole letter. This letter, the way we have it in our Bibles, is divided into six chapters. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, they are primarily what you call the doctrinal foundation, meaning chapters 1, 2, and 3 teach you what you should believe. Then chapters 4, 5, and 6, they are the application of that doctrine. So now chapters 1 through 3 teach you what to believe. 4, 5, and 6 says, here's how you live out of what you believe. And you cannot separate the two. You can't just focus on what to believe and not talk about how you ought to live. And you even got some churches who focus on how to live but don't teach the people what they are to believe. So the two are inseparably joined together. But so beginning at chapter 4, where the application chapters come in, Paul uses an expression that he repeats through this closing section, if you will, up to where we are today. And that is that the believer is to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. And when you come over to chapter 5, it begins, follow God's example. And then down in verses 8 to 10, before we get to our verses, he says, Paul says, you have to live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. So take the time to read this entire letter, and you'll find that Paul is continually building on what he said in the first three chapters. three chapters, and then he progressively adding to what he has said with the way that we live now in light of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So let's look at these verses here, 15 to 21 of chapter 5. And what I want you to note here, there are three contrasts that you're going to see here. And these three contrasts, they're going to come out in verses 15, verse 17, and verse 18. And these three contrasts, they're going to be marked by an expression, not but. 15 is going to say, not as unwise, but as wise. 17 will say, not foolish, but understanding. 18 is what? Not drunk, but be filled. So not but. That's going to be the controlling three areas of this section we're going to look at together this morning, as we should be encouraged to be careful of how you live. So beginning at verse 15, it says, be very careful. Like, because he put be very there. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, there's the first one, but as wise. For those of you who've known me very long, you know I like to do my study out of NASB, and it renders the verse, therefore, be careful how you walk. And sometimes we talk about being on this walk of life. So to walk is to live. So to these Ephesian believers, Paul says, watch, look carefully at your walk. Look carefully how you live. How are we to live, Paul? Not as the unwise, but as the wise. And I need you to understand very clearly, he's not talking about worldly wisdom here. He's not talking about the wisdom that we get from our secular education. He's speaking as wise according to God's word and God's wisdom. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. And that's not a knock saying don't go and try to get secular education. Learn as much as you can learn. But the life that he's warning us about being careful how to live, you're not going to learn that in school. Not the life that's pleasing to God. But he goes on to say, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. But in our text, Paul is going to elaborate here. We're going to see more specifically what he's referring to. So he says, be very careful then how you live. It says you're going to have to do that. You can't be unwise. You have to be wise about this thing. And watch what he says now. He says, I want you we want us to live with an understanding is where we're going with verse 16 here. Live with this understanding. Making the most of every opportunity. What am I supposed to understand? Because the days are evil. So Paul says, I want you to understand the times in which we live. And so he says, in understanding that, you're going to have to be wise. You got to act like a wise man, KP. How? By making the most of every opportunity. By making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Now, that is setting forth for us a principle that I believe very few Christians really grasp when it comes to how we are supposed to live. What he's saying here essentially is that the days that are evil, these evil days are actually creating opportunities for us. And we got to make the most of these opportunities. So he says, therefore, understand this. We got to make the most of the opportunities which are created by these evil days. He said, now, wait a minute. That's kind of strange. What do you mean it's creating an opportunity? Because of what we're called to. As disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to go and make disciples. The word for making the most here, when it says making the most of the opportunity, it's a word that's used in the New Testament for redeeming. It means to buy up. It's a word that you get from the marketplace, if you will. You know how you go down, and especially do it this time, and you go to the grocery store, you're looking for that bargain, right? So you can buy up everything, right? because you know it's not going to last long. And that's what he's trying to get us to see, because the days are evil and we know time is getting short. We ought to redeem the time, or we got to make the most of every opportunity. If you're going to be about your Father's business, if you're going to go and make disciples of the nations, then you're going to have to make the most of every opportunity, because we're living in evil days. And he uses that word buy up, because again, we understand that. Matter of fact, when the market changes and we go into a recession, then there's that person that sees that opportunity. They try to buy up everything, right? It's a bad time, but they try to buy up everything, those people that are making the most of every opportunity. And this is a far cry from the outlook of many Christians towards what this is here, because the days are evil. Most of us look at evil days as obstacles or some type of defeating circumstance, which tends to make us these pressures tend to make us unable to be Christians that we're supposed to be. We look at the things that are going on around us, and rather than making the most of these opportunities, we use these evil days as excuses not to do what we're supposed to do. But Paul says we're not to be unwise, but wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the situations around us, what seemingly is against us, is really making the opportunity possible. Paul is saying here, believers must be redeeming the time because we live in these wicked days. Now, I think, you got to think about this. If Paul wrote this almost 2,000 years ago now, and I don't think things have gotten better. If anything, it's gotten worse. Sin doesn't get better. I know there's a teaching, there's a theology in some churches that we're already in the kingdom and things are going to get better, but the kingdom is not established yet. Jesus Christ will be Lord in the kingdom. He will rule. He will be the monarchy. He's not doing that yet. And so there's this teaching as if things are getting better, but you better look around you. Things are only getting worse. And so Paul, now, if that was happening during those days, the responsibility of the believers back then, he's telling them you got to make the most of every opportunity, or buy up every opportunity, if you will. I don't think the responsibility has changed one bit, especially since things are getting worse. If I am walking as God intends me to walk as a wise Christian, according to the text, if I'm being careful of how I live, I am to be making the most of every opportunity. And I'm going to show you how we get distracted here in a moment. Now, if you had been in Ephesus at this time when Paul wrote this letter, Ephesus was actually a prosperous city. It had great commercial activity. It was material abundance there. And if you would have walked up to somebody in Ephesus and said, "Aren't these are evil days?" they would have looked at you and laughed. They would have said, "Things haven't been so good. There's never been a time things been so good. Evil days, what you talking about? These the best days we ever had." But see, Paul is thinking about spiritually here. He's thinking about reality. Sometimes we get caught up on looking at the material prosperity of where we live, if you will, the comforts, if you will, or what we call a well-off society. Then there's this tremendous pressure being exerted on us to cancel out or move away from the true value of life. Let me show you what I mean. Think about what the American dream. And I've made I've already told you there's no other country I'd rather live in. Love living in, I'm proud to be an American. Love living here. But the original concept of the American dream was coined by a writing historian, James Truslow Adams, in his book of Epic of America. Here's how he described the American dream. The dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each according to the ability or achievement. Now, a more modern definition I found was this. The American dream is the belief that anyone can attain their own version of success in a society where upward mobility is possible for everyone. Now, on the surface, that sounds awesome. But for believers, what I'm trying to get you to see, and being careful how you live, that can become a distraction from what you have truly been called to. It takes our eyes off of what our real mission is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So a part of the purpose in life he has saved us for is to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because you see the things that are going on around us, quit looking at the things that people are able to buy. Quit looking at their bank accounts or what they drive, and look at the spiritual condition of the nation that you live in. There's no secret all this stuff that's going on in the courts right now. You shouldn't be blind and ignorant to the spiritual things or the spiritual forces that are at work right now. You see, the world wants us, Elaine, the world wants us getting set for retirement, you know. Want us, you know, but I'm getting 65 and I want to get everything in order, but at the same time, we're trying to tell the world Jesus is on the way back. If you think about it, isn't that a little bit odd? I'm trying to get ready for my retirement, but I'm expecting Jesus to come back tomorrow. No, you got to be careful how you live, KP, and don't get distracted by things. You got to be wise in today's time, because you got to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. These evil days are just signs for you and I, showing us that his return is soon. And I know I got the skeptic out there saying, yeah, y'all been saying that for 2,000 years. One thing we do know for sure then, if it's 2,000 years later, we're even closer then, right? But we cannot allow ourselves to get so busy about the unimportant, transitory things that are passing away and forget about what we're called to. I get it. We live in the now time. I'm not dismissing that we have to plan some things. I'm just saying, remember the priority. Remember the priority. And you got to be very careful of how you live during this time. You can't be ready to testify, but your life is not lining up. So he says, look, verse 16 says, look, we have tremendous opportunities today. Open doors right here in this country. You know, I took a missions class this past semester, and one of the things that was so surprising to me, it was as if America believes, you know, she has to be the leader in missions. And I get it, because, you know, the freedoms that we have, we're free to learn, we have more opportunity, there's monies and financial things that are there. But I was sitting there thinking as I wrote every paper there, like, man, somebody need to come over here and witness. Somebody need to come over here and talk to us about it. Not because I'm saying everybody in America is not saved, but I'm just saying there's so much for us to get distracted from what we're supposed to really be doing. There are open doors in this country right here, but does that move us with this sense of urgency that we're supposed to have? That making the most of every opportunity is a sense of urgency. Often, though, you get just the opposite. We want to try to go and get as much as the world has to offer us, because we think, you know, I want to get as much as I can before it gets too late. And that's tragic, if you will. That's a tragic sense of values for the Christian. But look at what he says. So Paul, in keeping up with this theme that starts back in chapter 4 about the practical side of the doctrine, and he starts out with talking about live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And when we get here, he says you got to be very careful how you live. You got to be wise in this world. And man, understand what you're seeing here. We're in the last days. All the things that you see going on, all they're doing is creating more opportunities for you to talk about your Lord and your Savior. Therefore, do not be foolish, I'm in 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is, or the Lord's will is. We got to remember that in every situation, we got to act on the basis of what God wants from us. And the only way you're going to know that is through his word. We're so distracted. We're so busy with our life and all the things we're trying to accomplish. There is little room and little time for the word. And we're so content with just Sunday morning. Sunday mornings is so important. I'm not downplaying it, but your own personal Bible study is important. How else are you going to know what the Lord's will is? And see, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? Faith means you got to reject this world success image, if you will, that it's constantly putting up before us, and we got to strive to live a life that's pleasing to him, and you only know that from the word of God. Therefore, do not be foolish. There are, I don't know if I said it here, but, you know, coming up, you know, you can be smart and still be a fool. You can get straight A's and still be a fool according to biblical knowledge and wisdom. So you got to be careful. So when it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, you cannot be distracted by what the world says is life and what it says is success. But do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's, the life that pleases him is the life that the believer wants to act on. And you got to look beyond this immediate stuff and look towards eternity. Be careful how you live. Live wise, understanding what God's will is. And see, as Christians, you know, we got this advantage over every other person who is not a Christian. Why? Because we know the truth. We know the truth. And the truth as it is in Jesus. And so we got to live that way. We're now to walk as those who have understood that Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and that's the most important thing that needs to be, message that needs to be getting out there. Not how you can become more successful, how you can get more money. And this goes right in line with being ready to testify. We got to be careful. So that's why you'll see, especially in Bible study, we spend a lot of time looking at a bunch of scriptures because we don't want to become foolish. We want to learn as much as we can what God has said about it, because the pressure of the world is here and it is relentless. Every day you get up, you turn on the news or you go through your news feed on your phone, it's all this stuff just constantly trying to press you into its mold. You need to be this. You need to do that. You need to try this. You need to do that. But as believers, we're going in a different direction. We're supposed to have a different perspective. Our worldview is shaped by the authority of Scripture. So Paul says, be careful. You could be living a life that you think is a pretty good life and still be outside the will of God. You got to be wise, not unwise. How am I going to do that, Paul? I got to understand what the Lord's will is and recognize the times in which I'm living in, because it's creating opportunities for me and I need to make the most of that time. So he goes on to 18 and says, here's how you do it. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's interesting that he puts these two things in contrast, one to the other one. Don't get drunk on wine. This recognizes that there are things in life that tend to, in this particular context, that tend to drive you to drink, right? But now, it's not the only thing. There are other things that a person may turn to. It doesn't just have to be wine, but certainly wine or a strong drink in this area. We can understand what Paul is saying here, that there are pressures in life. There are demands that's put up on us, and they're so severe that you feel you need some type of escape, if you will, something that will help you feel, at least temporarily, get away from it. The things or the woes of this life. The trouble is that is, though, it will lead to a lack of self-control. That's why he says it leads to debauchery, which certainly leads you out of the will of God. So he's telling these believers, y'all got to be careful how you live. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And that is actually without limits, with reckless abandonment, it refers to a tendency to throw all restraints overboard and live without control. That's why they came up with the song, Blame It on the Alcohol. Because it becomes your excuse. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I was drinking. It was this, it was that. And we use that as an excuse. So Paul says, look, you, in this day and time, you got to be careful. There are many things people look to escape the things that are going on in the world. But for the believer, we don't do that. We don't wine nor anything else that's going to lead us away from the will of God. Instead, we are to be filled with the Spirit. We got to satisfy that need for something that to strengthen us or stimulate us by being filled with the Spirit. See, there's no sense. You don't have to be ashamed that you feel like you need something. I got to get through this life, Dale. I got to have something. It's something that I need. You weren't made to be self-sufficient. We were made to have this sense of need, but you got to let it be the right thing. You got to be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me make sure we understand this, because there's a misunderstanding of what being filled with the Spirit is. As a Christian, when you believed in Jesus Christ and received him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit at that very moment came to live inside of you. You have the Spirit. No doubt about that. All Christians have the Spirit. But Scripture teaches that you have to constantly be filled with the Spirit. That's not he leaves and comes back now. That's not what that is talking about. The filling of the Holy Spirit is talking about your being controlled by him. As everything else is pulling against you and wanting you to do this and follow that, being filled with the Spirit, Lord, fill me so that I do the things that you want me to do. A lot of times, just the way it's worded and because of how we speak in the English language, we think it's something else that's happening, that's coming into us. It's not something on the outside that's coming into you, because Jesus said what? Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit. So the adequate resource for whenever, whatever we're dealing with and whatever is going on in the world, we ought to turn to the Spirit that lives within us. Being filled, praying over and over and over, God, fill me with your Spirit is, I want to be controlled in these moments of doing what you want me to do. That's what it is. So when you're going through the book of Acts, when you're going through that historical text, you'll see it, and it talks about Peter, and it talks about Paul, and he was filled with the Spirit. All it's talking about in that moment is he was so submitted, in submission to the Spirit. He was doing exactly what the Spirit wanted him to do. And all of us as believers are to be filled with the Spirit. You have the Spirit living in you. It's like you got water in the refrigerator, but you don't go get it. Be filled with the Spirit. So it's not something that, again, make sure you understand, every believer has the Spirit of God in them. That's your source. There's nothing that you're dealing with in this life that you cannot do the will of God. I had a young lady what if I want to do what God wants me to do, but my husband won't let me? I got a strong desire to do God's will, and but he won't let me. I said, I think you're fooling yourself. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, from what I know from Scripture, you can do whatever God says you can do, despite what other people do. Now, you can't control how they respond, but there's nothing you can do to keep me from doing what God tells me to do. Nothing you can say or do can keep me from doing what God wants me to do unless I choose not to do what God wants me to do. And then I'm in rebellion. But I need you to understand. So from the text, he's telling us to be careful how you live. In these evil days, it's creating opportunities for us to do what we've been called to do. But we got to be wise in this, understanding what the will of God is for us to do. And don't turn to the world's answers for all these things. No, be filled with the Spirit. Be so committed and so submitted to the Spirit of God so that you can do what God wants you to do. And he's getting ready to give you these things that he's going to name that are really one thing after another, participles, if you will, that is going to show you what comes out of being filled with the Spirit. These things ought to come out of that. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Wine and anything else that you turn to in the world will eventually lead you outside the will of God. Instead, you must, as a believer, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms. So you see, it says speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and making music from your heart to the Lord. Go to the next one. We'll come back to 18. Because really, this is one long sentence. When you start at 18, it's actually one long sentence. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back for me. So, instead, here's our not but, right? Not as unwise, but wise. Not foolish, but understanding. Not drunk, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. But if you are led by the Spirit, so being led by the Spirit is the same thing as walking by the Spirit. That's the same thing as being filled by the Spirit. It's Spirit control. And when you do these things, the rest of these things right here, being controlled by the Spirit of God, happens. First, he gives the general, and I'm going to read it. We're going to read them again. First, these are the general things that are happening. Then when you go, this goes all the way through chapter 6, all the way down to verse 9. Then he starts to get more specific, like wives, husbands, children, parents, slaves, masters. But you're either living according to Scripture or you're not. But he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of the evidences. You know, some people think, you know, well, I come to church, but I don't come until the singing over. I don't really enjoy the singing. Well, that's the sign that we're filled with the Spirit. So it's not that we just come in here just to go according to some protocol. No, this is part of our being filled with the Spirit. We're doing the things or the will of God, what he wants us to do. And get this, that we think that it's just singing to God. Yes, we are praising and we're worshiping God through this, but according to this text, though, it's actually showing that we're ministering to one another as well. And I believe when he says this, speaking to one another, psalms, a lot of the psalms, which should be, all of them should be foundational to what Scripture says anyway. But when we have the psalms, you know, these are songs. Sometimes we forget that these are songs and poems and hymns right there in our word, right there in the word of God. But if you're filled with the Spirit, these are the evidences of that. You'll be speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make joyful music from your heart to the Lord. I thought about Lamar's testimony, what that lady was out there doing. The woman that she, when he was saying that, I was thinking about that. She, look at her circumstance and her surrounding, but she out here making a joyful noise, singing unto the Lord. Music, making music from my heart. And I love the fact that he says making it from your heart, because y'all already know that's not my gift. But I do it in my heart, Eli. All right, so I sing and make music from my heart to the Lord. Yeah, I know I'm not by myself, but that's all right. But singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This comes out of the heart. It's supposed to just, when you're filled with the Spirit, it just grips you. When you think about the goodness of God and all that he's done, I don't know how you can't sing. That shouldn't be songs coming, or melodies coming from your heart. And then he says, in the next one he says, and again, these are all evidences. If you go, it's one long sentence. So all of these are just evidences of the being filled with the Spirit. Go to the next one for me. Always giving thanks. This is another evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you, that's another evidence of being filled with the Spirit, when you recognize it's not what Joey said, not Joey, but him. That's when you know you're being filled with the Spirit, when you recognize that all that you do, all that you so-called accomplish, all that you have, it's because of him. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. You got a good job. Who gave you the bright mind? Who gave you the breath in your body? Who gave you the strength to do what you do? You recognize these things when you're filled with the Spirit, and you're always giving thanks to him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always, for all things. And you got to, to really get Paul and understand the depths of this, most of what this man wrote, he was in prison. And yet you will find him always giving thanks to God for everything. Not just when times are the way we want them to be, but in all, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. That goes right back to sanctifying the Lord God in your heart, revere him in your heart. I accept, God, that as long as my conscience is clear and I know I'm not out here deliberately doing things that I got consequences for, I accept that whatever comes in my life is at your hand. It's by your divine will. And I'm always being filled with the Spirit. I'm singing songs. I'm singing songs and hymns. Before giving thanks. And I'm making music from my heart to the Lord. Go back forward again. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, we actually deny what we profess. Oh, yeah, I believe God is sovereign. He works all things according to his purpose and plan. I just don't understand why this happened. No, we give thanks to God in everything. We're thankful for it. We sing praise to him for what? For going to the cross. I remember what you did for me, right? And then last, I don't know why. I know in your Bibles, NASB, I think the NIV does it too. For some reason, it puts it under a different head in there for the household, if you will. I think that's the way it is in my Bible here. It is instructions for the Christian household, verse 21. But verse 21 actually should go with this as well. And it says, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. When you are filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another out of reverence with Christ is just doing those things that's in the best interest of the other person. Submitting to one another in Christ has to do with we recognize those who are in authority, we're submitting to that. We recognize whatever God is doing and we're submitting to that. That's what it's talking about. Whatever role God has called me to play, that's going to help you understand as it goes on and start talking about the family and your job and all these types of things in the next context that's going down. But submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Whatever you have called me to, whatever position you have put me in, wherever you have placed me, God, look, out of reverence to Christ, I submit to that. That's what's being filled with the Spirit is. Some of us looking for these miraculous signs, but for the being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit has everything to do with knowing what the will of God is and praying to God to fill you, that you are controlled by the Spirit, that you submit to him to do what he wants you to do. That's what it is. So when you look at your life, and if you're not about your Father's business, I'm not challenging whether you are a Christian or not. All I'm saying is you need to be filled with the Spirit. As a professed Christian, you need to be filled with the Spirit, because only being filled with the Spirit are you under the control of the Spirit. It's being controlled by him. So yes, every person that has truly accepted Jesus Christ, have repented, asked for forgiveness of their sin, accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that alone, that person receives the Holy Spirit. But you know, Scripture talks about the believer can grieve the Holy Spirit. Tells you not to do that. So rather than grieve him, we want to be filled with him. We want to be controlled by him, because we understand we have to be careful how we live. And we got, so when you're being filled with the Spirit, Spirit's going to tell you when you need to make certain adjustments in your life, those things that you know that are not lining up. Share it with them in Bible study. As I'm going through Bible study, as I come to a passage, I realize, wait, I'm coming up short here, or I need to be better here. That's being filled with the Spirit, because I want him to control me in every part of my life. That's the attitude it brings. So our character and our minds are conformed to the one who died for us, the one who gave us this new life. So my challenge to you today, we got our motivations. We got to stand before our Lord and Savior. And it's his love that should compel us to want to do the things that he calls us to do. Well, what is that? He says, walk in a manner worthy of the life that I've given you. How do I do that? Well, you got to be wise. How am I going to be wise? Recognize the time that you're living in and make every opportunity of it as you are understanding what the Lord's will is. Says, you know, you got to understand that, and don't turn to the world's way of filling that need. No, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control you. Not only let him guide you, but let him control you. And you'll recognize if he's controlling you, because this is not all of it, but these are some of the evidences of your being filled with the Spirit. Singing songs and hymns in one another, making the joyful music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for everything. Submitting to one another. He didn't say I don't like the way Dale do it, so I'm not. No. You're not filled with the Spirit then. The Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, is being controlled by him. Is regardless of how you feel, is what God says. So be careful how you live. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the riches of your word. Thank you for its sufficiency and its adequacy, God. Thank you that simple, God, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, your son who loved us and died for us, we have this new life now. We can live differently, God. We can be controlled by your Spirit. And it indwells each and every believer, God. And we cannot be what we were, God. We've been made new, and we got to give you praise for that, God. And we got to understand, Father, that we out of all people have no excuse. Because you have given us everything pertaining to life in Christ, God. We can be who you have called for us to be. And I pray now, God, that by your Spirit again, that the message is well received, that we will be careful how we live, and that we understand that every moment is crucial. And we got to make the most of every opportunity, God. Not be deceived by the things that are going on in this world. Not striving after the things of this world. Doesn't mean we can't have things, God, but making sure our priorities are straight and that we are about your business. Thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. As Joy plays softly. I know, I wish I could have did a Mother's Day message. But I don't get to decide that. And right now, just consider what you've heard, seen lately in the news, what you witnessed with your eyes, the young lady committing suicide, Roe versus Wade in the news, police officer, another shoot, all these things that are going on. All these things. And God tells us, look, be careful how you live. Be wise. Recognize what's going on. Understand what my will is. These are opportunities for you. Be filled with my Spirit so that I'm controlling you, so that you can do the things that I want you to do. Please stand on your feet for me. So maybe you're here and you're a believer, but you need to be filled with the Spirit. I can honestly say I'm not being controlled by the Spirit of God in my everyday circumstance. Then acknowledge that and ask him to fill you with his Spirit. Maybe you're an unbeliever in here. You can't be filled with the Spirit because you don't have the Spirit. But you can have the Spirit. That small, still voice that convicts your heart, that lets you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Maybe you tried the wine. Maybe you tried some other thing. And temporarily, it gave you a fix. But just like Jesus with that woman at the well, he said, you're going to keep having to go back and back and back for that. But if you come to me, you would never thirst again. Not me, Jesus. And it's as simple as this. Drop your presuppositions. Drop what you think. It's as simple as this. I am a sinner. But according to your Bible, your scripture, your word, whatever you want to call it, according to your word, God, you said you sent your son to die for my sins. That if I repent, acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, believe that he did do what he said he did. He died, he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. That if I believe that, you would credit his righteousness to my account. That I am forgiven. And that now you give me new life, that I can live a life that's pleasing to you. It's just that simple. By faith are you saved, and not by works. It is a gift of God. It gotta be more than words. It gotta be, you gotta mean it in your heart. So if you wanna come, you wanna have a talk with the Lord, just you and the Lord alone, I know you can do it right there at your seat. I know you can do it right there at your home. I know there's no magic in coming forward. Just like with baptism, there's something about a public acknowledgement. Lord, I don't care who watches. I know you see all things. You can come to my left, your right. You can kneel. Nobody bother you. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. You can come to my right, your left. Be filled with the Spirit. Won't you come? Let me just reemphasize something, one last thing here. I just did it, but I want to reemphasize it. If your soul was required of you this day, are you sure? Are you completely sure? I think about Mother's Day, and again, some mothers are not here. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. you could leave here today as God's child if you don't know him. You don't have to wait to get anything right. You there at home, you don't have to wait to get anything right. You can call out to him right now. The only preparation you can make is to believe in Jesus. That's it. That's the only preparation you can make. And I just feel a sense that somebody needs to hear that. Because the text that we just read, while I was trying to encourage the believers to not be this, you are those not folks. You are the unwise. You are the foolish. You are those, maybe you don't get drunk on wine, you get drunk on something else, but it's describing you there. Examine yourself. Examine your life. I examine my life all the time. Be sure that you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ before you leave here today. God forbid, I hope it's not one of us, but we all know that somewhere tomorrow, even this day, somebody's not going to get up. On this Mother's Day, I think about my grandmother. I did a funeral. I can't even remember the year. But I do remember the title. It was, "How Does Your Story End?" How does your story end? Now, every life, every book got an ending. And it only ends one or two ways. Everybody got one or two endings. You don't get, the ending ain't, oh, I went on and I graduated and I became this and I became that. Nope, that still ain't the end. The end of the story ends one or two ways. You open up your eyes in eternity with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you open up your eyes in eternal torment, a place called hell. It only ends one or two ways. Thank you all so much for coming out today. I'm encouraged. I'm challenged. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be completely controlled by him. The constant pressures and pulling and drawing of the world, that's why it's a constant thing of being filled over and over and over again. Every time you have to make a decision, every time you have to do this or do that, that you want to be filled with the Spirit because you want to do what's pleasing to him. I want to be controlled by the Spirit is all you're saying when it says be filled with the Spirit. Pray that prayer every time. You've got to do it. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your desire, your will. Now, you got to get to the Word of God in order for you to hear clearly. It's him. You know, that devil, he likes to present things in a certain light, if you will. So you got to be careful. But I've been challenged by the Word of God. And thank you guys so much for all those who come. Thank you guys that joined us online. If anything that we can do here at Gateway for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. Let me pray one last time. And mothers, those who are living in here, make them spoil you today. Make them spoil you today. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your words, God. I thank you, God, for the simplicity of it and the clarity, God. Lord, even in areas this morning which are somewhat unpleasant because it seems to speak to us directly, God. Lord, you know how easy it is for us to become involved in materialism of the day or be distracted by what the world says we ought to be. And to those things that would see us not functioning as you would have us to function. We pray now, God, for your believers to be filled with your Spirit. We pray, God, that those who are here who do not yet know you personally, who have no hope, God, outside of this life, God, we pray that even now they might see Jesus Christ as the one and only who loved them and died for them in order that they might have eternal life in your presence, God. May they even believe in him and respond to your word. Thank you for all those who've come. As we leave this place, may your favor and your blessings abide upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Love you. Oh, one second. She got it. I forgot. Got a quick announcement, and then we'll let you guys go real quick.